Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is my fun and inspiring friend, Chuck Ballinger. When people ask Chuck Ballinger what he does, he often doesn't know how to answer. He realizes most people want to know what he does for a living, but that is rarely his top priority. Chuck says he's always been self-employed as a designer and builder, but his business only provides him with the means to do many other things. Chuck has written for over 10 national magazines specializing in travel, building, and scuba diving. His art has been seen in numerous art shows with his unique line of social commentary paintings, and he's always been active in community affairs, serving on several boards and committees here in Marin County. Chuck's travels have taken him to over 60 countries. Many of those trips were on assignment as a travel and scuba diving journalist. In 2001, he wrote the book, An American Underwater Odyssey, 50 Dives in 50 States, and it chronicles his journey to discover America both above and below the surface of each American state. Chuck is also the president of our super fun and inspiring Toastmasters Club, Southern Marin Toastmasters 1441 in Mill Valley, California. To find out more about Chuck, you can visit his websites, charlesballinger.com and dive50states.com. Join us for a conversation about creativity, art, music, the art of communication, and how Toastmasters can help you live your music. Welcome, Chuck.
Well, thank you, Margo. Great introduction and nice little plug for the club, too.
Well, I last time you were on, last year in September, I had you on, and we talked about your awesome book and all of the states and diving and all of that, and it was really fun talking to you about that. And the way I met you, though, is through Toastmasters, and it's such an important part of my life and has become such an important part of your life. And I've noticed that there's so many people that don't even know what Toastmasters is, or they've heard about it for years and they're afraid to try it. And so I thought today it would be really fun, especially since you're now president of our Toastmasters Club, to talk about Toastmasters a little bit today and let people know why we are members, why we joined, and how it can help us. So my first question for you is, why did you join?
Well, I tell you, Margo, I think it is a great topic because I think there's so many misconceptions about what Toastmasters is. And prior to joining, I was totally misconceived. I thought it was about a bunch of young, up-and-coming business people trying to impress their bosses or do business presentations, whatever. I had no idea the quality of the people. And I say quality, that's not the best word. The type of people that join Toastmasters really surprised me because they're so interactive and engaged and interesting people that prior to joining Toastmasters, most of the groups I've been in, I haven't met this type of I think it's a very distinctive personality that joins Toastmasters, and that one really caught me off guard. So it's so much about the people, of course, the skills you learn, and the confidence you attain within the Toastmaster system.
So true. I had heard about Toastmasters for a long time, a really long time, before I had the courage to go to my first Toastmasters meeting at our club in December of 2004 was when I finally walked in the door for the first time. And I had decided that I wanted to do it while I was still 50, before I wasn't 50 anymore. And I walked in the door of Round Table Pizza in Mill Valley, which is where our club meets, and immediately was just embraced with all of these wonderful, loving, creative, kind, encouraging, positive people, and I just, as soon as I walked in that door, I decided I was going to join. And one of the things that I've noticed, though, is our club in particular attracts a lot of creative people, a lot of entrepreneurs, authors. There's also two other radio show hosts besides me, and there's several authors, including you and our oldest member, Ben Parker, who's just amazing. So, you know, it's just a great place to be.
Well, it is an amazing collection of people. I've been to about six or seven other Toastmaster groups, and I think they're all interesting in their own way. But I think I may have even upped you. You've been a member much longer than I have. But when I first peeked in the window, almost 3 years ago, I guess it was,
mm-hmm.
I just peeked in and I said to myself, I don't know any of these people, you know. Who are these guys? I've been in scuba clubs and other groups.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that initial feeling that, gee, I don't know any of these people. And I walked away, to be honest with you. And I came back a couple weeks later, and then, as you say, once you get in that room and people are so receptive and so welcoming, and then you start to hear their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, so much of Toastmasters isn't about speaking, but it's about listening. And when you get 20 or 25 people in one room, they all have roles, they all have stories to tell, and they want to tell these stories. And these are the speeches are written by the person giving the speech, so it's not you know, you're reading from a book or anything. And you just discover so much about people that you could never discover any other way, in my opinion, in any other group. Maybe in some sort of Esalen Encounter group, I don't know. But I was so impressed with the speed in which you get to know these incredibly welcoming people. And, you know, the rest is history. You go with it, and they become your friends, and it's a great system.
Well, you know, to me, the thing is Toastmasters is all about communication, and you hit on a really key point, is that it's not just about speaking, it's learning how to listen.
Yeah.
How to listen really well. And I'll tell you what, is that one of the things I really needed to do, besides practicing getting up and feeling confident talking in front of a group of people, was to learn to be a better listener. And Toastmasters has really helped with that. It's helped me. If it weren't for Toastmasters, I never would have started my radio show. I probably wouldn't be a life coach either, because when you're a life coach, one of the most important things that you do is listen. And so the fact that Toastmasters has helped me with those things has helped me be able to be a much better coach, to be a radio host, to do all of those things. And it also has helped me learn how to do evaluations. I think that's a really important part of what we learn in Toastmasters, is to be evaluated and to do it in a kind way. I love the way Toastmasters does it, is that it's always about encouragement.
Yeah. I mean, 2 points on that. First of all, I think you're a perfect fit for Toastmasters, because you're all about your book, and everything you do is about following your passion. And within Toastmasters, I think you tend to get more people who do follow their passion. They don't want to go down that single track of life and, you know, have the kids and become the guardians of the kids for the rest of their life and live their life through the kids. These are people that really creative, dynamic, they're looking for self-improvement, and ultimately they are following their passion. So that's why I think, in part, you're such a perfect person to have in our group. Secondly, regarding the evaluations, I often spoke in public settings before, but I wasn't completely sure whether my message was getting across. As a matter of fact, I had no way of gauging it at all, and quite often I felt my point just didn't resonate. And so by joining Toastmasters, I found the evaluation portion of the meeting to be probably the most helpful, because not only do you get positive encouragement, which makes you more confident, you also get points to work on in areas where you can improve, which you otherwise probably would never get. So I think that's been a huge benefit for me. And in addition, as you say, it's nice to evaluate others because you start to listen in a different way. You listen for the positives, you listen for things that need to be worked on, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And the thing that I want to mention, too, that you brought up just a minute ago is the fact that you had already been doing speaking before you came. And people come to Toastmasters with any level of experience. In other words,
yeah.
I had absolutely zero mm-hmm. experience talking to groups. And I was working on writing my book at the time. At least it was a dream at the time to get it out and get it published. And I was just kind of flow writing for originally in the first part. And I remember my writing coach saying that, well, you know, you're going to need to talk about it. And I thought, no, that's not what I had in mind at all. I was writing it so I wouldn't have to talk about
it.
That I could share what I've learned that's helped me love my life and use more of my creativity and, you know, just to share it but not have to talk about it, to just go, okay, well, here's the book. You can read the book.
Right. Well, it's interesting
I was just going to say, so, you know, some of the people like me start with no experience, and then some of the people come with a lot of experience, and then there's all sorts of levels in between, and you can go at your own pace. That's one of the things I love about it.
You can, and you can focus on many, many different areas of Toastmasters, depending on what you want to get out of it. And as you pointed out, we have a lot of writers in the group. And that's
mm-hmm.
probably true. I mean, everybody is a writer to some degree. And, you know, whether it's an icebreaker speech or a table topic, anything you put on paper could be the seed of a future book. It just depends on how far you want to go with it. So the beauty of Toastmasters is that every time you do a project, it focuses on a certain aspect of speaking, whether it be using visual aids or being persuasive, what have you. And so every time you get to write one of these little speeches, you help your writing instincts along, and that gets satisfied to me in a very positive way, that I say, oh boy, I get to write something, and then I get it to edit it down
mm-hmm.
to the 5 to 7 minute period, and then I get to transfer it into something that's speakable, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes what you write and what you want to read or talk about, they're phrased in different ways, and it's a sort of a third step to the editing process to make it a speech that you can deliver in a manner that's effective. So, you know, but again, there's so many different, with the impromptu speaking, which everybody's a little bit nervous about, where you have to speak right off the cuff, that's
mm-hmm.
an amazing tool to both enhance your confidence and I think also to make you a little bit of a quicker thinker at this stage
totally.
Of my life. You know, I'm looking for anything, whether it's crossword puzzles or Toastmasters, to keep the old noggin as sharp as possible. And a couple hours in Toastmasters is probably the best medicine for that.
Oh, I know. In fact, right from the beginning, I started thinking of it as like Gold's Gym for my mind and spirit
yeah,
and communication
yeah.
because, you know, every week, it's so funny because each year toward the beginning, I'd be going, well, do I really need to keep going or do I want to keep going? And then my answer would be, yeah, I really
yeah.
enjoy it. I really
yeah.
do. And we get such a variety of people. There's old members that have been there for a long time that are familiar, and there's that can help the newer members, but there's also lots of new members that show up, and then they come for a while, and some of them stay for a few years, some of them stay for a few meetings, whatever, but you're always meeting new people and hearing new stories, and it's just like exercise, I think, Chuck.
It is.
If you don't do it, you lose the muscles. You lose. If I'm gone from the club even for a couple weeks on vacation, it's a little bit harder to get up there in front of the group the next time. So, you know, it really helps to practice.
And I think part of the fun is to see that gain in confidence as you, the more speeches you deliver, it becomes a little bit like anything. It becomes muscle memory, brain memory, whatever. You step up there and you think, well, I don't have to worry about losing my place as much. I've done this a number of times, like anything. And then for the newer members, it's fun to see how they progress, how they have to have a cheat sheet when they first get up there. And they move beyond that to the point where they're relaxed enough to say, well, I can wing it a little bit. And then, of course, when they get to that point and they can wing it a little bit, it's a thrill. It's quite exciting to say, well, I got through that without even have to look at a note. So, and you see that in other people. You see them becoming more confident and positive in their own skills. And it's a great thing.
Well, and you learn from watching what they do or listening and watching when they speak. Also, you learn from when other people are getting evaluated. A lot of times you can hear it better, I think, and absorb the ideas of how they can improve better than you can when somebody's telling you yourself. So you learn from both ways. You learn from hearing the other evaluations. You learn from the people speaking. You learn from you doing evaluations and from you being evaluated, all of those different things.
Yeah, and at some clubs, ours included, we occasionally videotape the meetings. And I found, you know, when it's available, that's a great asset too, because the body movements you make, I tend to wander a little bit, and use of words that are filler words, what have you. All these kinds of things are very evident when you can see them, like recording a song you might sing or anything else. You can review it, look for certain things that you may not even be aware of while you're giving the speech. So there's quite a list of tools we use along the way. I spoke with somebody today who said, well, I'm not sure about some of the rigid aspects of Toastmasters. You know, everything's timed and so on and so forth. And generally people find that after a while that really does become critical to the success of Toastmasters. You don't want people to just ramble on. You want the meeting to move along in an efficient way. And so the system, which is in I don't know how many countries across the world,
It's a huge international organization.
Yeah, practically every country has Toastmasters now. It's just a proven method to work. And within that method, you've got these clubs where people become really outstanding friends. And again, that was a benefit I didn't even think about when I joined Toastmasters. I wasn't really looking, you know, to increase my Facebook page or anything like that. You know, again, that was a huge benefit of it, and the people are great. So, and I hear that in other clubs, too.
It's not just our club. It definitely is not just our club. But I have a real fondness for the people in our club, and I've had so much fun there. You know, the time is just flying by, and I just need to mention that next week on my show on Wednesday, November 11th, 2015, my guest will be Diana Toma, and she's from Romania, and we're going to be talking about her art. She does beautiful paintings and illustrations, and speaking of Facebook, that's how I met her, was through Facebook. She lives in Atlanta now, and she's living her music by doing her art, and so we're going to be talking about that next week. And I want to remind everyone that if you want, you can sign up for my weekly Live Your Music newsletters on my website at margojoydenader.com. And I send out information with links for the replays for the shows and information and photos of the guests that are on the shows. And I want everyone out here, while we're finishing up during the last 10 minutes, I want you to think about these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, my gosh, Chuck, you know, it is a beautiful place. I mean, there's a lot of problems in the world, but there's also a lot of good things and a lot of good people.
Yes, there are. You know, when you were just saying what you just said, I was thinking mm-hmm. about a movie I once saw called Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman playing a character
yeah.
who had many, many different lives. And
uh-huh.
he was a, you know, a scout and a soldier and a town drunk and a sharpshooter and all these different things. And when I saw that movie, it really struck me. It was many, many years ago that you can go through life and latch on to many, many different things. The sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't limit yourself. You know, what your passion might be today could be different from what it is in another year or another month. And
mm-hmm.
I've always found that it's fun to follow my passions. And that's kind of what I'm all about. You know, whether it's writing or painting or playing the drums, what have you. And
mm-hmm.
so I've kind of modeled my whole shtick over that movie. it's,
now I'm
going
to have to watch it again because I saw it years ago but when it came out, but I don't remember enough about it. But it's so true. I mean, so many people, that's part of what I want my book to do for people is to inspire them to realize that what music you hear calling you is not just one thing. Usually it's
yeah.
a whole bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter so much what they are, and it doesn't have to be, as it was saying in your intro, the bio, it doesn't have to be what you do for a living.
No.
So, you know, I mean, some people get
if you can combine the two, you know, that's ideal.
Right.
But, you know, many people feel that if you follow your passion, that can become your living. I find the secret for me, anyway, is just
mm-hmm.
not to limit myself. And so many people limit themselves by what they studied in school or what their job is. And they say, well, I can't sing because I'm a stenographer, or, you know, what have you. And
right.
yet I firmly believe anybody can do whatever they want if they put their heart into it. So that's kind of the song I've been following.
Well, I totally agree. And the thing is that common denominator has to be something that you feel called to do, not something that is a should or that other people
mm-hmm.
think you should do. In fact, I hate that word should. It's one of the words that I agree with Louise Hay. I'd like to totally delete the word should
yeah.
from the dictionary and from our use because you can't hear the word should without feeling guilty, whether you're saying it to yourself or someone else. If you say to yourself, oh, I should have done it that way, or you say to someone else, well, you really should try this. It
mm-hmm.
it always makes people feel guilty, but there are so many possibilities out there. And I think one of the questions that helps me, Chuck, is thinking to myself, what do I have to gain by trying? Like, what did I have to gain by trying walking into Toastmasters that first time? And, you know, just to try things, to just do it, just to try it. If you don't like it, then don't keep doing it. But do it because it gives you joy, not because you necessarily think you're going to make a bunch of money or make a
yeah.
living at it. And like you said, I mean, if you do it and you love it, a lot of times you get so good at it, you do end up making money doing it. But if money's the main motivation, then it's not necessarily something that's the music that you're hearing.
Probably not. And one of the qualities of Toastmasters I really enjoy, too, is that by and large, I think they're very curious. And I think as you go through life, you'll face many, many doors. And
mm-hmm.
people who aren't curious, they don't really care what's behind those doors. And the curious
mm-hmm.
ones, they want to crack open those doors and see what possibilities lie beyond them. And I think that is common amongst a lot of people in Toastmasters, that they're out there, they're opening these doors, and who knows, any door might just open up a whole new life for you, a whole new career, what have you, a whole new passion. So I say open them all up and see what's out there.
Oh, I know. At least open them and take a peek, you know, instead
yeah.
of thinking, oh, my God, there's scary monsters behind that door.
Right, right. Yeah, you don't want to go through life in fear mode, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. And they, haven't read that book, Five Regrets of the Dying or whatever. But, you know, I think one of them is definitely the things that you were afraid to try, that you
right.
never even tried to do. So, you know.
Well, seems like we focused mostly on Toastmasters today, and hopefully a few people will try it out because I think one thing we can say is your conception of what it's all about won't be realized until you actually go to a meeting, and guests can attend for free, absolutely no charge, and try it out a couple of times. I think most people that do, we're having a pretty darn good rate of new people or guests joining up. So I think that says something about the group and the system. You know, people come and they say, wow, this is quite different than I expected, and they want to be a part of it. So try it out.
Yeah, definitely. And you can go to toastmasters.org, and you can find it. Type in your zip code, I think, or city, and find clubs that are near you. So even if you're listening to this and you're in another country or a different part of the country of the U.S., you can type in your area and find clubs that are near you. And so even if you don't want to be a public speaker, it's about communication, and it's about learning to be a better communicator, which includes, as Chuck, as you were saying, listening. It's just such an important part of it.
Yeah, I think the one of the biggest misconceptions is the public speaking aspect. I mean, you are talking to a significant group of people, but communication goes so far beyond that. It's something everybody has to do every day, and becoming better and more effective and more confident is a really good thing. So,
yeah, and communication has always been one of my top priorities, and I feel that the quality of our life is the quality of our communications, and that we can constantly be learning and growing and becoming a better and better communicator with ourselves, with other people, and even with the universe. You know, and you know, I was realizing that Toastmasters reminds me of six C's, six of them. At first it was four, then it was five. Now I've got, okay, communication, connection, contribution, creativity, confidence, and courage. It helps with all of those.
Sounds just about right. It does.
You know, we haven't talked about your paintings, and I did put a couple of your paintings in the cover of your book in the slideshow for the show, and I love your paintings. I love the sense of humor that you have and the use of color, and we've got just a couple minutes left. Just briefly tell us about Baby Santa and the fast food painting.
Well, briefly, yeah, what I really do that's a little more distinctive to my whole thing is what I call social commentary art. And a lot of it is taking an existing painting and incorporating it into a bit of humor. For instance, after the shoe bomber and there was the underwear bomber, I did a painting on everybody at the airport and having to be in hospital gowns and take their underwear off. And I did a painting on Border Patrol, where an Indian agent is at the shore as the pilgrims come ashore. And what if Van Gogh had to go to Kaiser to get his ear fixed? And I am sitting there reading Psychology Today, and somebody's ripped off his Starry Night painting on the back. And Birth of Baby Santa is something that I've always been confused about, the tie into a jolly guy in a red suit and the whole Christian narrative. So it's a little baby Santa in a Santa suit and a manger. Yeah, this sort of thing. And I take a lot of Van Goghs. I even have a Mona Lisa called Mona of Marin, where she's sitting in a hot tub with a glass of wine. The Fox Scream is the famous Scream painting, and he's in a theater, and Fox News is in the background. So a little bit of political humor in there, too. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to do this stuff.
I loved going over to your house and seeing all the paintings everywhere. It was just fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Chuck, for being the president of our club, for being my guest today, for being my friend, and for being on the show. And hopefully we'll inspire some people to try Toastmasters.
Yes, and thank you for being my friend and inviting me on again. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, bye for now, everyone. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Chuck, and you always inspire me.
And vice versa.
Thanks
right,
again.
Monica. Take care.
Bye for now, everyone.